Good evening, everybody. Tonight, we will talk about acupressure, acupuncture, and shiatsu. This video discusses how much the alternative medical world is able to affect us in the natural ways. As this year, we explore natural, non-invasive healing methods that can complement your routine and help you navigate stress, finding balance, and restoring your optimal health naturally. Now, again, I repeat, I do not diagnose conditions, nor do I prescribe substance or perform medical treatment, nor interfere with the treatment of a licensed medical professional. It is recommended that you see a licensed physician or a licensed healthcare professional for any physical or psychological ailment and condition that you may have. I'm only here to open up the door to exploring natural methods that have been around for a long time and open up to the curiosity of what is present from other cultures, other parts of the world. Some of these, like we're going to see today, acupuncture, acupressure, and shiatsu, are the backbone of traditional Chinese medicine. So therefore, let's dive in. We're exploring acupuncture first, as it is based on a universal principles of yin and yang balance, the harmony of opposites. So this is important because our bodies are easily set off balance. Stress, regular routines, traffic, high demands, we don't have time to respond anymore. Everybody wants everything done right away. It creates chaos inside of our energetic bodies. And so acupuncture is allowing us through natural ways to try and rebalance that inside of our bodies. Yin always contains a trace of yang and yang a trace of yin. So if you've ever seen the symbol, the round symbol with like what looks like kind of two paisley, one is the black, one is white, but at the center of each, there's the opposite color. The qi is seen in the traditional Chinese medicine as active life energy, the vital force permeating the universe. So the qi energy runs through the meridian channels that connect and relate to specific organs. No, we're not going to get super, super medical here, but we're going to see why is this practice a good practice. In the acupuncture realm, each organ relates to the five elements, wood, fire, earth, metal, and water, which adds a bit to the complexity on how to help cure yourself and how to restore the balance of all the elements. This is a holistic system, so that means it doesn't separate the body from the mind. A holistic system means that you're looked at as a full individual. So not just parts of you are just singularly what is wrong with you, but as a whole being. Your mental and physical state have a major importance to play in your overall health. So factors as relationship, environment, lifestyle play very important roles. And it's not something that we examine very much because we tend to think, well, I don't have a choice. That's the way it has to be. Right? So we go with a certain flow that sometimes is contrary to our own personal flow. In Chinese medicine, they explore disease as a result of the qi imbalance, and acupuncture is a means to restoring the qi harmony. So it's the feng shui of the body, if you will. We're looking at all of you, from your body, but also your way you live your life, who is in your environment, what are the stressors? Some of the stressors are caused, let's say you're stuck in traffic 45 minutes before being able to go to work, or the train that you're going to take to work is late, and so forth and so on. But it also looks at how much time do you have for yourself? How much time do you have to relax? How much time do you have to reconnect with nature, with your people in your life that you love? The life qi, the energy, moves through your body along 12 main energy channels or meridians. Those are the highways where the energy travels all over your body. The imbalance in the body organ causes blockages in those meridians. Now, why do I say that? Because that's what the Chinese medicine starting point is. We're talking about energy from the get-go. Now, by manipulating pressure points along the meridians, it helps to unblock and stimulate natural flow of qi and restoring the balance of health. It is said that in Chinese medicine, if your meridian can be broken, and if you're broken, then you can't use it anymore. So think about it. We face this all the time when we're in a vehicle or transport, and all of a sudden there's repair works, and then a regular route has been changed, and we have delays, and it's clogging up elsewhere because we're trying to redirect somewhere else, and it causes pure chaos. If it does that for you on the road, well, now you can imagine that that's what it does inside your body as well. Knowing which meridian relates to which illness is an essential skill that can be learned and enable a degree of self-treatment. As far as acupuncture goes, you need to know exactly which point in the body needs to be stimulated to restore this energy flow. There is a growing body of scientific evidence verifying that the acupuncture techniques and how they work. So there is research being money put into that to verify that it is a true healing method. The acupuncturist will seek to determine the nature of your qi blockage by establishing an overall picture of your physical and emotional state. So it's not just saying my stomach hurts, it's about also how you feel and how is your overall routine going, right? Then there's a series of needles, up to 20 at a time, that will be inserted and manipulated into specific points along the meridians in order to stimulate your qi. Now, if any of you have kids and you've watched Kung Fu Panda, you can see him full of needles, right? There's way more than 20. However, that's an exaggeration of what acupuncture looks like. Usually, you know, 10 is a good average because they'll stimulate different points in your body that relates to that particular meridian feeding into a specific organ or an emotional state. There are actually about 2,000 needle points that the acupuncturist can select from. However, 200 of those points are most frequently being used. The needles are sterilized and the procedure is very safe and effective. In this day and age, now back in the day, a long time ago, the acupuncturist only had one set of needles that he would keep disinfecting, cleaning and reusing. Nowadays, the needles are one-time use and then they get destroyed. So there's no fear of being contracting any disease. The all needles being used are clean, sterilized, and one-time use. Now, the acupuncture, in my personal experience, I was going through a lot of anxiety. And the stress was feeling like I was being run over by a huge truck and I couldn't breathe and I was having panic attacks and it was debilitating. And I was able to find a very good acupuncturist who laid me down, put a few needles, and all of a sudden it felt like someone popped a balloon and all the pressure went out. And all of a sudden I was breathing. I was able to relax. And then they let you sit there or lay there on the table. And some of them, acupuncturists, have a beautiful image on the ceiling that you can stare at that, or you can just close your eyes. For me, the instant relief that I felt was so liberating that I just closed my eyes and I could almost fall asleep. The stress had been so incapacitating that just, you know, I was just ready to try anything to relieve that pressure. And the fact that a few needles in one session was able to do that for me was very, very powerful. Not everybody likes needles, right? So you're going to say, well, needles aren't for me. I'm afraid of needles. I can't get poked. I just can't do that. And this is where Shiatsu comes in. Now, Shiatsu is a manipulative therapy developed in Japan, incorporating the techniques of Anma, which is a Japanese traditional massage, of acupressure and stretching, and Western massage. So it's a combination of all those things. It's also known as Japanese finger pressure. The Japanese for chi and the finger for atsu, the Japanese word for chi is finger, and for pressure it's atsu, therefore shiatsu. It consists on finger and palm pressure and stretches and other massage techniques. Now, there's over the hundreds of years, there's been a development of a tree of shiatsu, if we can say that. And one branch was developed by Tokujiro Namikoshi. And he's credited with the development of modern shiatsu. And he based his work on Anma, the ancient Japanese massage technique with origin in China. Now, in 1940, he founded the Japan Shiatsu College and systemized a form of shiatsu therapy based on Western anatomy and physiology. The Namikoshi School largely ignores the traditional Chinese medicine and its system of qi energy channels, the meridian. So the one that we most of us know is the Shizuto Masunaga School. Now, this is based on the work of the scholar Shizuto Masunaga, and he seeks to reconcile the shiatsu with traditional Chinese medicine, incorporating ancient Chinese texts, Taoist theory, and acupuncture, qi energy, and meridian channels. So this is the school influenced most shiatsu styles today. And research suggests that shiatsu can reduce the effect of morning sickness, bring relief from anxiety, improve your mood, and generally relax the body and mind. So very similar to the effect of acupuncture without the needles, right? Just working with a massage in those specific points. So acupressure, more specifically, is an ancient Chinese touch therapy using the same principle as acupuncture. So they're very similar in the way that they work, right? They're all non-invasive form that works with pressure and massage and stimulate points on the body. The shiatsu massage and reflexology are both closely related to acupressure, but acupressure specifically works with exactly the points where you would put a needle in. However, instead of the needle, you apply pressure. It's an effective treatment for headaches, allergy, asthma, nervous tension, menstrual cramp, sinus problems, sprains, colds, and flus, and general pains and aches, and toothache, as well as anxiety. So it's a wide umbrella of things that can be relieved. Now, what do all these things have in common, except maybe asthma, is pain, right? I didn't know about debilitating menstrual cramps until very recently, and then I realized that, you know, when they hit you, there's nothing you can do about it. Except now, we could massage ourselves in specific acupressure points to relieve that, rather than right away jumping into pills, right? The idea of acupressure is that it improves your feeling of well-being. It lifts your energy level and stimulates even sexual appetites and strengthens your immune system. All of the things that require energy and a relief from pain. Now, something very closely related to the acupressure is the Chinese massage. It includes a wide range of massage therapies within the traditional Chinese medicine system. Now, remember, we talked about at the beginning of the series that there are traditional alternative medicine system that exists outside of the, I would say, modern medicine that have existed for thousands of years. And that's the only medical system that has existed in China. So they have textbooks on massage techniques that date back all the way to the 4th century. So for those of us that want to do the math, that's almost over 1500 years old. So from the traditional Chinese point of view, massage is just as important as diet and herbal medicine, acupuncture, and therapeutic exercises. The humans need to be touched. The worst form of torture that you can give someone is never to give them a hug and never to touch them. So they see it as a non-sexual touch that allows your body to be revived, to be made alive again. Through the Chinese, traditional Chinese medicine, you have two distinct methods of Chinese massage. You have the, and I'm sorry for the spelling here, the Tuina, which focuses on pushing, stretching, and kneading the muscles, whereas Xia is more of a focus on pinching and pressing around acupressure points location. Now, some of you are going to say, well, you know, I don't know about pinching and pressing. It doesn't sound very soothing and relaxing. But the purpose of these Chinese massages is not to relax as in the Western massage or a Swedish massage, but to actually actively speed up the healing process, relieve pain, improve performances, strengthen the immune system, and ease the emotional distress. So by activating these points along the meridians, we are in effect reanimating the lines of energy and allowing us to speed up the healing. Why is that? Well, we all know that after construction is finally over and the roads are open, it just seems like the traffic just flows freely. And you don't understand why it took so long to get to work for several months, but now just everything flows, right? It's a short pain in overall allowing this energy to reconnect to where it's supposed to go, and being able to restore the health that was debilitated by the shock, by the distress, and by possibly, I don't know, an accident. All of these things come and disrupt a person's energy field. I have someone who recently was in a really bad car accident, and physically, there's nothing wrong with them. But he was saying that he kept feeling like he was in centered, because the shock of the vehicle being hit literally felt like it displaced him. So by using the acupressure massage and the Chinese massage, they were able to rebalance this yin and this yang and recenter his energy and reallowing the flow to go through his regular meridians instead of everything being displaced to the left side. This is a holistic approach. And the massage affects the entire being, not just the body. So their focus isn't just about the physical part. And hopefully by the end of this year, I will have drained and opened up your perspective on, instead of just focusing on what is wrong and looking at everything that is making the situation unbalanced. Right, so how does it work? The vital energy of qi moves along the meridian channel, harmonizing this yin and yang principle within the body. Soft and connective tissues, as well as joints, influence the flow of the qi. So if there is swelling, if there is, let's say you twisted your ankle, things are not flowing, right? They're being jammed by the inflammation. They're being stuck. And it could be, it could be a headache, right? How do we explain a headache? Well, some people will say that it's a lack of flow of the blood and oxygen to the brain, which is causing the headache. The qi works in the same way. It's a circulation. And if it doesn't no longer circulate, it no longer brings the nutrients where it's supposed to go. And it interferes with the proper functioning of the body. Just like a car needs gas, right? If you don't gas, your car is not going to run. However, if you don't do the oil change, eventually you're going to cause also great damage to your motor and other parts of the vehicle because it needs lubricant. The Qi is a bit like that. We know that the gas is like your blood, so you need to have that to live. But we tend to forget that our body needs more in the way of maintenance and care. We need to do an overhaul once in a while and look at everything that we're doing and how we're being in order to see if needs to be some readjustment in our schedule, in the way we live and what we eat, right? The massage helps to free those blockages and it restores your free chi flow. Now, the technique includes pressing, knuckle rolling, so knuckle rolling, it really rolls on the body, and then kneading. Imagine those of you who know how to do bread, there's a lot of hand movement, and then squeezing and digging and dragging and plucking, tweaking, hammering, pushing, stretching, vibrating, knocking. All of those things all over the body, or even using the feet for a lot of pressure. Right, I wouldn't let just anybody walk all over me, but I do see a professional massage who's been properly trained and actually can assert from my body needs and my emotional needs what is the best treatment and massage that they can offer me. When I was back in college, I did take a shiatsu massage class. It was very basic. We just learned an overall massage, but being able to actually determine from a personal point of view, right? This is what's wrong with me. This is my emotional state. This is what I need to fix. For those things, it's better to see someone who's been properly trained and knows the technique proper. But there is some relief from that can be obtained. And the old idea is about being able to refocus on ourselves, right? And not ignoring when aches and pains and emotional imbalance occur, to take into account how we feel, to be able to readjust ourselves in the moment and not accumulate years and years of abnegations and distractions and ignoring the symptoms that come to the surface and never dealing with the root problem. On that topic, something that is possible for you to do from your home is the emotional freedom technique, also known as the tapping technique. So one of the big persons that promoted the tapping was Louise Hay of Hay House. She's unfortunately passed away now, but she still has some of her videos going around on Facebook and the internet about the tapping. Now, the emotional freedom technique is an alternative psychotherapy that manipulates the body's energy field by tapping on acupuncture points. So we're going to be tapping on certain points while focusing on specific thoughts. So there's a two process here, right? So there's the body part, but there's also the mind part. So I thought I would share that with you today because it's easy enough to use. It doesn't affect any other treatments, right? Because the idea of alternative therapies is that they can be used at the same time as another modalities and doesn't interfere in any shape or form on your actual treatment other than possibly bringing you additional relief. And that's what we're hoping for, right? We're hoping to develop some techniques or some ability or research on something else that can relieve our stress or pain or imbalances. So the emotional freedom technique is a simple procedure and it can be learned in a few minutes, right? So I'm just gonna quickly plug the phone because we're running out of juice and Facebook is there with us at the same time. And it may be practiced anywhere. So there's no harmful side effects because you're just simply tapping your hands and some part of your chest or your head. And the emotional freedom technique suggests that the cause of all physical symptoms and negative emotion is a disruption in your body energy system. Just like the Chinese traditional medicine is saying, right? So the emotional freedom technique can help to resolve emotional, mental, and physical issues in a matter of minutes. The procedure is very simple, and we're going to go through it right now. So the emotional freedom technique involves finger tapping on ancient Chinese acupuncture points. That's why it fits into discussion today. The tapping stimulates points, and these points in a gentle, non-invasive in a way, and we are able to release energy blockages that hold strong stress and anxiety related to emotions. The specific acupuncture point that should be tapped or on the body or the hands to tap the points on the left or the right side of the face and the body simultaneously. So if we're tapping on two areas, we're tapping at once. If we're tapping in the center, we can only just use one hand. It doesn't matter if you're using the left hand or the right hand. But what's important is you need to concentrate on the issue that is bothering you. So it requires a little bit of work on your part through introspection, right? You need to ask yourself, okay, so what is bothering me? What is not right? What is not feeling peaceful inside of me? So you have to repeat the process, and which I will detail, three times, right? So it's all in trees. Why is it in trees? Apparently everything that works well works in trees. Reiki has the same idea. We do repeat certain mantras three times, right? Another person that some of you guys may know is Jane the Virgin. In the show, she's a very emotional, all over the place person, and poor girl, she's using the tapping, but she's not taking the time to center herself. So I don't see it bringing her a whole lot of relief, but hopefully if we don't skip the first part here, it should be helpful. I find it works amazingly great, and especially when I'm in a public place, in an airport, and things are happening around me, and I don't want to be part of the drama, I help focus myself in staying calm, and staying centered, and staying grounded by doing the tapping, and nobody else knows the better of it. They just think I have a tic or something, maybe. All right, so the first thing we need to do, and we can do this together right now, you need to focus on something that is bothering you. Is it a craving? Is it a job problem? Are you emotionally upset right now? So let's pick something that we'd want to change in ourselves, right? Something that is immediate in the moment. And that's the true, I think, gift of this method, is that it can be used right here, right now, just about whenever, right? So whatever is affecting you right away, you can focus on it. And you formulate these problems into a sentence. Right, so for example, I am craving chocolate cookies. I want chocolate cookies. That's my problem right now, and I can't have sugar. So I can't have those cookies, but that's what's bothering me, and this craving is distracting me. I can't focus on anything, and it's I don't know if you ever had these cravings, you know, when it seems like your brain actually stops functioning, because until it gets what it wants, it won't allow you to do anything else. So that's a good one, yes? So now you have to rate how this problem makes you feel on a scale of 1 to 10, right? We need a departure point to know how am I feeling right now. So this rating will help you quantify how much you have improved after each sequence. And you can write it down on a piece of paper so you don't forget. So simple post-it note, right? So the craving, chocolate cookies. Okay. And my craving... let's put it at a 5, for example, right? So it's not earth-shattering, but it's still in the back of my mind, and it keeps bothering me. And then we're going to tap the chop point, so the karate point right here. So we're going to tap that, and we're going to say, even though I have this craving for cookies, I fully and completely accept myself. You repeat the procedure 3 times, all the time tapping on the chopping point. Even though I have this problem with this craving for chocolate cookies, I fully and completely accept myself. Even though I have this chocolate chip cookie craving, I fully and completely accept myself. All right, so then we repeat it on the other side. Even though I have this craving for chocolate chip cookies, I fully and completely accept myself. Even though I have this chocolate chip craving cookies, I fully and completely accept myself. Even though I have this craving for chocolate chip cookies, I fully and completely accept myself. And so that's your chopping point. Then, just so you know, there is a point for your thumb, your first finger, and your middle finger, and your little finger. So the only one that doesn't really have a point is the ring finger, right? We have the thumb, the first, the middle, and the pinky. They all have points that you can also tap, right? All the while, always focusing on what you're trying to change. And then we have a special point that is the triangle between the two knuckles, between the ring finger and the little finger. If you make a pyramid from that point right here, that point is called the Gamu point. And it's a brain balancing center. So if it hurts, it needs balancing. So you apply pressure to that point or you tap on that point. Because there are acupressure points and there are acupuncture points. Now, now that you've done the karate chop, we're going to now tap the top of the head, where your crown is. So you can tap the top of your head with several fingers and repeat the phrase 3 times. So I'm not going to keep repeating this because by the time we're done, you're going to actually crave chocolate chip cookies. But that's the point, okay? So you tap the top of the head and you repeat the phrase 3 times. This is why writing the phrase down can help, right? If you're distracted, this will keep you focused. Then you tap the inside of the eyebrows right here. It's hard to show in the video, but just at the point where your eyebrows start, this is from the nose. This is where you want to tap. Again, you tap the inside of the eyebrow, repeating the phrase 3 times is generally recommended. And then we're going to tap on the outside of the eyes, right? So the outside, meaning at the not close to your nose, but at the other extremity. And then you tap there, right? So if you have glasses, maybe it's best to remove your glasses, but this is where you're tapping. So you're not tapping on the temples, right? We're tapping right where the outside of the eyes is. And you repeat your phrase 3 times. Then you tap underneath the eyes right here. So again, glasses are in the way. You tap right here, just below the eyes. You're going to be tapping on the ocular bone, right? So you're not tapping on the soft part of the eyes, but just below where the bone is sitting. Then after that, you tap under the nose. Now, obviously, it's a small point, right? It's in between your nostrils, between your nose and your mouth. And you tap there and you repeat your phrase 3 times. So a lot of people, I think I'm just tapping 3 times. You tap more than 3 times. You repeat the phrase 3 times. Then you will tap on your chin, directly at the center of your chin. Not underneath, not beside, center. The very center of your chin. Again, you keep tapping and repeating your phrase 3 times. And you can tap with different fingers because your 4 of your 5 fingers are also trigger points. So you're basically, by tapping with those fingers, you're stimulating that point from your finger and from your chin at the same time. And then you tap on the collarbones. Now, this is where you're using your 2 hands to tap at the same time similarly. And you repeat the phrase 3 times, and then you tap under the arms. Now, under the arms, it's a bit harder. Maybe you want to use your thumb or you want to use other fingers, but you tap and you repeat your phrase 3 times. So that will complete the cycle, right? And then you can continue tapping on each of the finger point as well, all the time repeating the same phrase. After having completed the sequence, examine yourself. Check in, right? And rate your problem all over again. Now, if I had a craving of 5 and now I'm completely distracted and the craving is gone, it's disappeared. If you were at a 10, for example, and now you've made it down to a 5, You could repeat the entire process until your rating of your problem has done come down to a manageable level. Now, what is a manageable level? Well, that's independent to every person, right? For some people, a 5 is better than a 10, and all they have in their schedule is time for one sequence, and now they got to get out of the bathroom where they were hiding to do the tapping or whatever, right? But if you're in the comfort of your own home, or you would want to get it down to a 0, you just reprocess this entire thing. So quickly, we'll go over it again. Top of your head, the center of your forehead where the third eye is, the inside of the eyebrow, the outside of the eyes, underneath the eyes, underneath the nose, straight on the chin, and then collarbone, and then armpits, right? So that will complete your sequence, or you can redo the sequence with different fingers if you wish, right? But the idea is that with the phrase, you will rebalance your energy. You refocus where your subconscious was sabotaging you to realigning with your true purpose, right? It's very interesting that the phrase is about, I fully and completely accept myself. Not sure if there's other phrases. That's the only one I could find for the tapping. And I'd be curious to try with affirmation, right? If we have a different affirmation that we want to, I love myself, I respect myself, if an affirmation would work in the same way. So that would be something interesting to try. I'm curious about that. But the ideas of the emotional freedom technique is you're identifying what is the issue, right? It's not something we're used to. I work with a group of people right now with an online classes on Monday. And I'm asking them, identify the emotion behind what's going on. And interestingly, they're unable to name the emotion. So they're like, well, I'm confused. I don't feel like myself. I don't know. I can't describe it, right? Because when are we taking the time to actually identify how we feel? In our society, and I'm talking about Canada here, so don't judge me if you're from the other part of the world, but we don't spend a whole lot of time on how are we feeling. I get the feeling that talking about your emotion makes people uncomfortable, and because it makes them uncomfortable, they don't want to talk about it, and so they don't want to hear how you feel. They don't even know how they feel themselves. So starting a conversation around feelings, it seems like I'm talking about some taboo subject that no one wants to approach. And I even developed a document to send to the people I work with 150 emotions. And they're looking at these emotions and they're like, I don't even know what this is. And I tell them, okay, well, if there's any words on this emotion list that you do not know, then it's worth exploring. It's worth finding out what this means. There's a Facebook thing. It says that everybody knows about disgruntled, which means you're not happy about the situation and you're grumpy about it. But it's actually, there's a word that says gruntled, which means that you're satisfied with the way things are and you're perfectly happy and you don't need to change anything. So that's an emotion. That's a feeling. That's a way that you can express your situation. We seem to be lacking the vocabulary to express our emotions. We don't even know how we feel because we bury it all the time. We bury it through caffeine, we bury it with smoke, with alcohol, with drugs, with food, with anything, with sex, with media, anything to distract us. And that was the most important thing that I gave as a homework to this group, is I was asking them this week, every time you're distracted, I want you to write down what you're doing for your distractions. And surprisingly, when we met the week after, first thing they expressed is, now that I know how I distract myself, I now realize, oh my gosh, I'm in avoidance, I'm procrastinating, I'm avoiding, and I'm distracting from what needs to be done. So sometimes doing the work, doing the introspection, finding the time to ask ourselves important question, can do so much for us. And that's the idea, right? A lot of people are like, I don't have time. And then I say, okay, well, I want you to map out your day for the next week for me. So when we get together next week, you're going to tell me, so what did you do with your time? And then we realize there's 4 to 5 hours of TV. And then I'm like, okay, and now we're going to look at your phone and going to see how much screen time you have on your phone. Making a phone call is not screen time. That's everything else. Social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and whatever else there is out there, right? We are wasting time. And time is the one thing we can't get back, right? We can't buy time. If I'm running out of time, I can't. So we need to manage our time better. And if we find that instead of 4 hours of TV or 4 hours a day of social media or screen time, we reduce it by even 1 hour every day. And during that 1 hour, we check in. Now, when's the last time that you actually checked in? When's the last time you asked yourself, how's my day going? Right? We just go through the motions. We go through the next thing that needs to be done. My agenda is packed full of things all the time. But I start my day with 1 hour that is mine, where I examine how I'm going to manage the day. And at the end of the day, how did I manage that day? And did I do the best that I could? If for some reason, negative emotion have surfaced during the day, I ask myself, could I have handled this better? Could I have had perhaps, another way to manage this situation, which might repeat itself if it's from a coworker or a spouse? And subtracting yourself from the drama. Now, there was a very lovely example I had. The person is telling their spouse, you're not really contributing in the house. And they know they're not contributing. So they're not doing dishes, they're not doing laundry, they're not folding laundry, they're not putting on laundry, they're not cleaning the washroom, they're not vacuuming floors, they're not washing floors, they're not changing the beds, they're doing nothing. So the spouse says, I would like your help. You're not helping at all. So all of a sudden, the other person flares up, they're very angry, and this could have turned into an argument. But person A sat back and went, okay, hang on a second. Why are you so upset? Why does me stating that you're not helping around the house frustrate you so much? Because it's true. We both know it's true. So why are you reacting this way? Why are you flaring up? Why are you getting angry? What's going on? And so, of course, spouse B is not one of my students, hasn't worked with me, so this is brand new to them. It's kind of a bit of a shock even to them. They're like, wait, what? We're not going to argue about this? She says, why should we argue? You know I'm right. You know you're not doing anything. I'm just asking if you can help. But rather than sitting together and trying to work out what you could do to help me, you get angry. Now, why are you angry? And they were still working on that. So it wasn't a fast solution, because for him, it was the first time that someone acknowledged, you're very angry about this. And he's like, yeah. She's like, okay, but why? And they never in their 15 years of common law had approached this question. It was the first time that someone acknowledged, you're angry. Do you know why? The emotional freedom technique helps to peel the layers of the onions and allow you to get to the center of what is this? Is he angry because he knows he should be helping, but he's too tired and too stressed, or he doesn't know how to help, or what is it? Right? So rather than yelling and being angry, tell me, how can we work on this together? And both of us are doing chores, and I'll do a little bit more than you because you work longer hours or whatever. But is there a way that we can balance this? In the emotional freedom technique, there's the gamut procedure. And that's a brain balancing exercise that involves movement, humming, and counting. You first, we locate the gamut point, right? So it's on the back of the hand. And when you make a fist and you draw a triangle from on the back, from the knuckles to the base of the little finger and ring finger, so about here, right? It's a little pyramid. So I don't know. It's different for everybody because everybody's hand size is different. But if you draw a pyramid, that's going to lead you to that spot. Now, the depression in the middle of this triangle is known as the Gamu point. And you keep your mind tuned to the problem while tapping on the Gamu point continuously following the sequence, right? So it's not just a straight pressure, it's a tapping in that area, right? And by no means am I thinking I'm perfect, but when I'm feeling this point, to me, I can feel where it connects. There's something, a jolt for me that happens, right? Might mean that I'm unbalanced. So you will tap, close eyes, then open eyes. Then you're going to look on the floor to your right. While tapping, you're going to look to the floor on your left. It's eye movement, right? You're going to roll your eyes in a circle while tapping. And then you're going to roll your eyes in the opposite direction while tapping. And you're going to a song, any song, for 5 seconds. And then you're going to count to five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then you're going to for 5 seconds of the song again. And then we can do the same on the other side. So eyes closed, eyes open, looking down on the floor to the right, looking down to the floor on the left, rolling your eyes around in a circle. Take the time to really do the circle and then roll in the opposite direction. You for 5 seconds of this song. It's funny, it's hard for me to hum. I want to sing the song. And then count to five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And hum the song for 5 seconds. Now, you may want to practice doing this because you have to do all this and remember to keep your mind tuned to the problem while tapping. Why is brain balancing so important? It's also in the technique used by Psych K, balancing your brain. Why would that matter? Because you have your left brain and your right brain. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I do believe the left brain is all the mathematical, and anyway, one hemisphere of your brain is all math, science, facts. And the other side of your brain is all about art, intuition, drawing, singing, and all of those things, the creative side. When these are out of balance, what happens? You get overly emotional. You can't make a decision because your emotions are off the roof. And so everything becomes reactive and there's no logic. As opposed to your other side, which is all logic. And then sometimes we can't make a decision just based on logic. We need to consider other people's feelings. We need to understand the emotion that come with that decision or that choice. So I think that as a parent, that's the one that, you know, to me it's logical. This is where I cut the bread and this is where we split the things. But there's an emotional reaction that happens in the room because the kids, I've invested emotion in the decision I just made. So in order to make the decision maybe more thought out or fairer, then we have to have both hemispheres working together. We need the logic to guide us in our decision. So, you know, we don't think that jumping off of a building is going to allow us to cure a headache, right? There's a logic, but at the same time, there's an emotion. So, let's say, for example, we are invited to an important family reunion or get together with friends. And the emotions are, well, my ex-boyfriend's going to be there. I'm going to be sad and I'm going to be angry and I'm not sure if I should go. Where our logical brain says, well, we can go, we can keep our distance from this person, and if it becomes too much, we can always leave. But that doesn't mean that we have to deprive ourselves from the get-together or the gathering. right? So you're using both sides of your brain to connect together to make a more appropriate decision. And usually that will help keep things balanced and face situation, instead of being at extremes, being more balanced and being more in charge and knowing that you're still in charge as things come up. So that's the emotional freedom technique, but also the same idea is being used by Psyche as well. So there you are. I have a few people watching, and I'm just wondering, do you have any question on acupressure, acupuncture, shiatsu, or the emotional freedom technique at this point? Well, it looks like I was very clear. I got a heart. Thank you. So these ones I realize are a little shorter than my usual 90 minutes, but there's no point in me talking and saying nothing, right? So I want to deliver the information as concisely as I can. And so hopefully this was clear, and you're going to give the emotional freedom technique a try, and you can always look up for acupuncture. That has to be done by a professional, but the acupressure massage and the shiatsu massage is something that you can learn to massage yourself. You can look at which point goes where. There are plenty of books that you can research, and as far as a massage for yourself, you can't do no wrong, right? You can't hurt yourself with that. You can definitely maybe find a way to relieve either your emotional distress or your physical pain, and find a right middle and find a balance. In March, we're going to be talking about, hang on a second, it's a long ways from now, movement therapy and music. How do moving help us get better and healthier? And again, all from personal experience, having dealt with professionals, and I want to share all these with you, because instead of always numbing myself and taking pills, I am now very present, very conscious all the time, just much more aware of when my body talks to me, when I need to take time for myself, when I need to stretch, when I need to move. All of these things are practical. They don't cost anything. And you can do this for yourself whenever you feel the need for it. And it's, since it doesn't cost anything and it won't harm any other form of treatments you're on, it's worth giving it a try. And that, I think, is why we're doing the podcast once a month this year. So you have a whole month to try this emotional freedom technique, or get in to get an acupuncture massage or an acupuncture session, and ask yourself, okay, does that work for me? Did that bring me any good? And if it doesn't, well, it's all right. There's something else next month that I'll give you a chance to try. And it's about finding what works for you. So it's not about me being right and me saying this is the one and only method. It's the opposite. It's me saying there's so many ways that we can feel more at ease, feel more at peace, have more joy in our life, being more comfortable in our body, and restoring a happy in our life instead of the sad and the depressed and the angry. We can shift all that, and we can be part of the process. And I think that's part of holistic medicine, is that you have power. You, by doing these steps, are reclaiming your power and saying, I'm in charge of my life and my body, and I'm going to try to make my life better. So it's all part of empowering you into being a full, awake, healthy, happy individual. So I'll see you next month. At the end of March, last Wednesday of the month, and we will talk about movement and music and arts and how that can make us healthier, stronger, and more balanced individual. So I bid you a good evening, and I'll see you next month. And if you write comments after the fact, I always answer to your comments. And please, if you can subscribe, especially on YouTube, we're trying to get to 1,000. It would be fantastic. Share this with your friends. Don't keep it to yourself. Feel free to share. Tell others what we're doing. And maybe this will help someone you know. You never know. So have a good evening. And I'll see you soon.